Hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. And we're going to speak today about the forgetfulness of grace. Yeah, the forgetfulness of grace. I read a story about how some years ago there was a well-known English bishop. He traveled from London to New York, and before his journey he'd been warned that the American press might ask him some tricky questions. So be on your guard. And sure enough, on arrival, one of the journalists said, "Sir, you expect to attend nightclubs while you're here in New York?" And the bishop, wanting to be tactful, replied, "Oh, are there any nightclubs in New York?" And the next day the tabloids came out and one of them said, big headline, "The first question English bishop asked when he got here was, are there any nightclubs in New York?" Hey, listen, sometimes we can be misunderstood and misquoted. And there is, however, something that the Lord wants us to comprehend and without confusion. Now, when it comes to our sins, to the believer's sins, are you ready for this? He has forgiven them, and when he forgives, he forgets. Yeah, here's what the Word of God says, quoting out of Isaiah 43:25, he says, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? And then in Hebrews 8, verse 12, excuse me, he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Hey, when it comes to the sins of the people of God, God exercises his divine prerogative to not only forgive them, but to forget them. Forget them. This is good news. Aye, and it's grace. Perhaps the most neglected teaching in the Bible is the doctrine of the forgetfulness of God. Simply stated, it teaches that when God forgives, God forgets. And this truth is repeatedly illustrated in Scripture. When God forgives our sins, he puts them out of his mind. Yeah, he forgets about them. Well, take, for example, the grace of forgetfulness for Noah's sin. Oh, by the way, the word grace makes its Bible debut in the story of Noah. Let you check it out, Genesis 6:8. And Noah, we are told, found grace with God. He found favor, same word, same meaning, favor with God. Ah, what a man he was. He, having found favor, he enthusiastically obeyed the word of God. He obeyed the word of the Lord and built the ark. And every day he warned people about the coming deluge, the coming floods. By the way, no one at that time had ever seen a flood. And consequently, think about it. Noah would have spent years undergoing ridicule and rejection. "Oh, no, there's going to be a flood now." And then the fateful day of destruction arrived. And the Lord shut Noah and family into the ark, and they were spared, and they were saved from the judgment of God. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, not quite. No, they didn't. After the flood, Noah got blind, drunk, out of his mind, and he lay naked in his tent. See Genesis chapter 9, 20 to 27. Oh, you say, that's terrible. Yeah, it is. You know, but back in those days, nudity was a taboo in the ancient Hebrew society, especially the nudity of one's parents. To see one's parents' nudity had the connotation of sexual intimacy and at times even incest or rape. Now, all these things may be implicit in the narrative. The text isn't clear, but it's very possible there was something a lot more than him lying naked and being full drunk. We don't know the details of this event, but there's certain things to learn here. Not the least of them is that if Noah could fall, a man who for years defended the word of the Lord and built the ark under ridicule. Yeah, well, if a man like that can fall, anybody could fall. Yeah, lots of believers have known the truth of this. After walking closely with God for years, George Mueller, you've heard of old George Mueller? Well, he used to pray, Lord, he said, don't let me become a wicked old man. Aye. Mueller understood the hidden depravity that still lurked in his being. And the truth is this, we never lose our vulnerability and availability to sin. We never become unassailable. And Noah had walked with God for more than 600 years, but then he went out and got drunk and ran around the place naked. We don't know what else. We should, therefore, never forget that the best of men are men at best. The best of people are people at best. Even the godliest of people are prone to sin. Well, another thing to learn is if we condemn Noah and despisingly ask, how could he do that? Well, you know, we don't know our own hearts if we can talk like that. We would do well to heed the admonition in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Steve Cole in his sermon on Noah warns, past goodness doesn't guarantee future godliness. We never become immune towards the advances of sin. Neither age nor maturity provide protection against temptation. That is why we learn to walk daily, every day in the gospel, in the finished work. But here's the most significant discovery when we come to the New Testament. Yeah, when we get there, there's no mention of Noah's drunken escapade. In fact, the New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5. A preacher of righteousness who condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Hebrews 11:7. But he failed. Brother Miles, he failed. Yeah, he did. He did terrible things. Yes. And you know what God did? He forgot about it. God is the God of all grace. Our sins have been punished on Christ. The Lamb of God has taken them away. Do you hear me? Do you believe it? Your sins are taken away. Believer I'm talking to. Hey, if you're a non-believer, listen, you're welcome to be here. But your sins are not. You don't know what it is to have your sins taken away and forgotten. You're sitting out there under the wrath of God. Flee to Jesus. Oh, yeah. And believer, he has taken our sins away. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sin of the Jews, the sin of the Gentiles. Oh, he's wonderful. The Lord declares, I am he that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25. So to blot out, that's an image from an accounting book in which when the debt is paid, the charge is blotted out. It is cancelled. Such is the power of the blood of Christ that God forgets the sins of his people. He blots them out. This is good news. Ah, yeah, good news. Worthy of preaching to ourselves. Preaching before preaching, be walking in this and living in this. God's forgotten. If you've repented, God's forgotten. If you've taken it to the Lord, he's forgotten. Why don't you forget? Amen. The grace of forgetfulness. And here, have you read about Lot? Did you consider the grace of forgetfulness for Lot? Lot seems to be, at best, a half-hearted believer. He's waffling around between his position in Sodom and his faith in the Lord. And when we read his history, we see a pattern where Lot just goes with the flow. He's a compromiser. He pitches his tent towards Sodom, Genesis 13:12, and then eventually moves to the doomed city and sits with the city elders, Genesis 19:1. His family laugh at him. And when he warns them of the coming judgment, Genesis 19:14, well, they just mock him. As a man of God, he had no credibility. He was a man of God, but he had no testimony. Genesis 19:14. He had even allowed, listen to this, he had even allowed his daughters to marry pagan Sodomites. Lot had entered Sodom, and in return, or in turn, Sodom had entered him. In the end, the rescuing angels had to compel him to leave the city, and had they not, Lot would have just stayed on, Genesis 19:16. Then, after Sodom's demise, things could have taken a turn for the better, but they didn't. In the next scene, we are confronted with a wretched tale of drunken incest between Lot and his daughters.
Oh, you say, Brother McKee, surely there's no hope for a man like that.
Who says that?
Oh, but he's wishy-washy compromiser.
That's true. He is all that. But such is the power of grace that when we get to the New Testament, Lot is held up as an example of righteousness. Someone who was vexed with the filthy conversation, filthy lifestyle of the wicked. He was distressed by the unrestrained behavior of the immoral. 2 Peter 2:7. He is called a just man in the New Testament. Literally, a righteous man. Well, how can that be? Well, the only answer is the beautiful, marvelous, matchless grace of God. It's because God says, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. In addition, he declares, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and to their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. We just expect our heroes to be flawless. Lot, however, was just like the rest of us. He was far from a perfect person, far from a perfect man. And this is not surprising, since Jesus is the only perfect person to ever have lived. Outside of Jesus, there's no one without sin. Yeah, that sounds like we're walking schizophrenics. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Nevertheless, the reformers, we can learn a lot from them. Not everything, but a lot. They call this radical truth simul justus et peccator, which means we are righteous and at the same time sinful, all at the same time. So Lot's righteousness was found in Christ, not in himself. Righteousness was imputed to, not infused into him. Lot was counted as righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus. But this righteousness did not make Lot acceptably righteous in himself. That will only happen at our glorification when we are transformed into his image. Justifying righteousness is something which resides in the person of Christ alone. The imputation of this alien righteousness is the only means by which a man can be accepted with God. As long as the Christian lives, he's guilty in himself. But in Christ, we are righteous and counted as precious. And that is the gospel truth. Hey, thanks for being with us today. If I can help you in any way with the spiritual walk, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. Or if you want to subscribe to our Wednesday Word, miles@milesmckee.com. Wednesday Word is packed full of the gospel.
If you enjoy the gospel, it's for you. Okay, and some of this material is found in one of my books, Grace and Living in It, the Gospel Truth About Grace and Living in It, which is available on Amazon. Makes a great Christmas gift. Okay, until next time, bless you. Amen.